everyone. Hang on.
War Midwest Guys presents Star Wars Rebels Recon.
My name is Rex, Captain, 501st Clone Battalion.
I'm not afraid.
That's what worries me.
Lord Vader.
Yes, Master.
The rebels of the Lothal system. Hunt them down.
As you wish. Your master has deceived you into believing you can become a Jedi.
Things are getting worse just as they did back when I was your age. Back then, there were 10,000 Jedi Knights protecting the galaxy. Now,
there's just you and me.
All right, if I tag along?
The more the merrier.
Mission accomplished.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Star Wars Rebels Recon, a Four Midwest Guys production, presents production. And with me today is Mr. Brian Eckenbauer.
What's up?
And my brother Aaron.
Hey, how's it going, man?
How you guys doing today?
Good.
Let's get into it. We're finally here, guys. We're finally at the season finale. We're going to review Twilight of the Apprentice. Yay!
Part 1 and 2.
Or just put together as Twilight of the Apprentice, however you want to look at it. So, a whole lot to get into today. Awesome episode. The episode starts off, we see Rex and Ahsoka talking via a hologram. Kind of a nice little, almost a goodbye. Some last second foreshadowing, I guess. What'd you guys think of Rex saying goodbye to Ahsoka?
Did he really say goodbye?
Well, he kind of did. He's like, may the force be with you at the end. And
I don't know, I don't think I really interpreted it that way.
I mean, she's not dead.
Not dead yet, but he's definitely worried, you know, by it.
Well, I mean, of course, you're going after Vader.
Yeah.
Of course you'd be worried.
But, I mean, you guys have seen some of the Clone Wars, so they've had all this history and all this background, and you get this kind of...
Well, it's almost like a father-daughter type of...
relationship, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's... At the end, you get, may the force be with you. And you're like, ooh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like there was some concern, but I don't think I interpreted anything outside that.
Okay. All right, so we get to Malachor, and they land on Malachor, and they come to the obelisk, and Ahsoka's trying to read it, and they say it's in the old tongue, which is news to me, but we'll talk about that more later, maybe.
You don't want to talk about the old tongue now?
No, because I had to do...
Do you think we'll come back to it?
I hope not, because I don't know much about it. I know basic is basically English, or whatever is your basic language across the universe. I'm not sure what the old tongue is.
Oh, okay.
Per se. But anyway, so as they come up to the obelisk, these obelisks sticking up out of a crater, Ezra kind of has this kind of feel or call to the dark side, like his eyes kind of roll back in his head.
He's like, ooh, oh, shiny.
He definitely dazed.
Yeah.
He was like daydreaming. It was like, ooh. Must touch with hand.
Right.
And they're like, no!
Well, he is what? 14? Something like that? Maybe younger?
Yeah, but I mean, it was just like, he was fine, and all of a sudden, it's like, he's like, whoa.
Like almost possessed.
Yeah, almost possessed and taken over and just reaches out. Must touch. And
shiny thing,
yeah, or whatever. But he touches it, boom. The floor opens, the thing lights up red, cracks underneath him red, and boom.
Yeah, the crack was a little weird in that scene, but it was cool.
Yeah, then they fall into, I'd say, I don't know, what, a couple stories?
Or four stories into the catacomb.
Yeah, so one of the few times you'll hear me say anything bad about this episode is the fall. they do all this falling, and they just kind of hit the ground. Ezra and Kanan actually hit the ground. At the end, you see Ahsoka kind of roll out. Okay. But they just fell, you know, five or six stories, and they're not hurt at all. Okay.
With the Jedi.
Okay, it's a Jedi thing. I would have liked to see them throw out
their hands. A little higher endurance than usual.
Throw out their hands and try to use the Force to stop one-liner saying, I'll, you know, something.
They did a Jedi fall.
Jedi fall, yeah.
It's one of the first things you learn in Jedi school, falling.
Yeah.
So, once they get up, we see it's a very, very cool thing. In the dark, and you see all these holes in the ceiling where maybe other people have fallen or something have come through, but it looks like stars in the night, and right before them is a giant Sith temple. Pretty cool looking. And the first thing Ezra finds, we have a tri-bladed lightsaber.
Green
one. He lights up for a couple seconds and then dies. So, what do you guys think about the appearance of a tri-bladed lightsaber?
It's kind of a nice tie-in to, like, Episode 7, where it's trying to, you know, make it to where it has a bit more history and, you know, like, it's an older weapon sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And we know from the book for Episode 7, The Force Awakens book, that Kylo Ren's lightsaber is actually made on the same planet. So, a little bit of a connection.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so definitely a nice little bone thrown out there, or a nice nod to the prequel, or yeah, the not the prequel, but the sequel trilogy, which is, you know, still being made. The other thing that was kind of cool that I noticed right away, I call them the Pompeii bodies, the charred remains of
the Jedi's.
Of Jedi.
Just charred standing up sort of thing.
Jedi and or Sith, you know, looks like some major battle had taken place.
Yeah.
Something major went down that they all suddenly just literally turned to ash and froze.
They show this planet having, you know, that kind of giant weapon, like, later on into it, so
right.
It kind of suggests that maybe it got activated and just wiped the entire playing field.
The whole thing, yeah. Nobody won.
Well, I mean, it's kind of the Sith style.
But it didn't tear apart the lightsabers? That's why I didn't understand.
Well,
they had a charred coating, nice and evenly brown.
To me, I guess it's like, it was like a nuclear bomb went off and they just kind of dropped the lightsabers from their hands or something. But yeah, it's kind of a good point that those didn't get destroyed either. That might be why they're not working.
Yeah, it was just odd.
But yeah. Well, I mean, it's still kind of interesting, like, the charred effect kind of left them in still, like, a statuesque form as well, so there could be some sort of, like, chemical reaction, but I don't think Star Wars would go into the explanation for it.
Yeah. So, we also, shortly thereafter, they run into the appearance of the Eighth Brother. Another Inquisitor makes his appearance. Much different looking.
Yeah, clearly lower ranked.
Lower ranked, I guess, in the order, per se.
He had four fingers on each hand.
Four fingers. He's an alien. That's correct. I can't remember the name of the species. They did reveal it. It has been seen before. If you've seen the Clone Wars series where Ahsoka loses her lightsaber, there's a particular episode. The person that steals her lightsaber, it's that same race.
Oh, really? Because with the helmet, it's kind of hard to pick up what race it is.
They do reveal that it's that. I just can't remember the name of it. It's like two words, and it's long. But anyway, so yeah, it's that particular race. So, very agile, nimble.
Yeah. Well, this creatures. Is also, I think, the first time we start seeing them use the little dual-bladed lightsabers in helicopter fashion with him as well.
Yes, this is also the part where we see the appearance of the dual the helicopter lightsabers. Again, the only other thing I'll complain about, they're made of light. Can they? I mean, I know they're energy, but can they really, you know, by spinning them fast enough, pull you up?
Obviously they can.
So,
especially if you add, like, a little force push with
maybe
something.
Maybe they're using the force with it. If they're doing that, then I'll buy it.
There's a special technique you have to do to get to where you can actually use it. And even then, it's probably just for short bursts, because it is kind of an addition to their jumping sort of thing.
Well, what it reminded me of is when you have those little helicopter zipline things that you had as a kid, and you pull the cord real fast, and they go up, but then they go down, they slide sideways. Yeah. That's kind of what they did. They went up, and they would slide. Yeah.
So I think what you're saying is Disney has a clear marketing opportunity with this.
Yes. The dual lightsaber.
Yeah, the
zip lines.
Yeah.
Coming soon to a Disney park near you. Inquisitor. Spinning Inquisitors. Woo. All right, so
The Inquisicopter.
The Inquisicopters. Yeah, that's a good name. I like that. Okay, so Ezra during the battle, Ezra falls through the floor.
Again.
Right. But when we meet up with the eighth, he says...
Eighth brother, yeah.
He says, he goes, ooh, a Jedi. Ooh, three Jedis. Yeah. Like, ooh, he wasn't looking for them, but who was he looking for?
He was hunting Maul. He calls him the Shadow.
The Shadow.
Correct.
Which is a weird little nickname for him, I think.
Well, which is kind of cool, because if he's been hiding, and he's this legend...
Yeah, he's so the ancient Sith that kind of kept on going.
Right.
Despite being, you know, attacked by pretty much the Emperor himself in Clone Wars.
Right, the Emperor himself. And he's also taken out by Count Dooku in the Son of Dathomir comic series, apparently.
So he's really survived a lot.
He's gone through a lot of shit. And he even says so to Ezra. But anyway.
I think he was lying to Ezra, though.
Oh, well...
he said he didn't have it, and he said he was like, I'm a Force wielder, but I don't have it anymore.
At the same time, though, like, I think his hatred of the Sith from what happened actually does seem almost legitimate. Like, he might not reject the teachings of it, but he hates everyone else.
Oh, no, I get that he has enemies, that he hates the ones that are left, because they're the ones that kind of threw him out. But for him to say... I don't have any Force abilities. And then to kind of use those Force abilities and his fighting style and the...
The funny thing is, though, he never really lies to Ezra, which is funny. He just doesn't tell the whole truth. Like, he says, the Sith killed my brother, they ripped me from my mother when I was a baby, and they killed my brother, and then they used me and they cast me aside. All that's true.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but what he didn't say... is that he was a former Darth, and that he was once the apprentice to the Emperor himself, kind of like Vader is now. He left out a lot of stuff, and yes, he was disguising his voice a little bit and trying to sound like an old man.
Well,
one of the cool bits about that, though, is he actually had like his dual lightsaber in the cane.
Yes,
that was an awesome feature for me. Like, I actually thought that was really nifty.
The other thing I thought was pretty cool was it kind of explained that. It's not just that there could only be two Sith.
Yes.
Then it is come in twos.
Right, well, the rule, the first and only reality of the Sith is there can only be two, the Darth Bane rule, which is there can only be a master and an apprentice, somebody who has the power and one that seeks it.
Right.
But there is kind of loopholes for the Inquisitors.
That. And Maul has been left alive by the Emperor... and Dooku, for whatever reason, he was spared.
Right. So. But he's like, he's my apprentice. There's only two, and the way they go up the...
Yes, we'll get a little bit into that a little bit later. Yeah.
In twos, so yeah. It's not a complete... Because you're like, well, if Vader's here...
They have a buddy system, is what you're saying.
Yeah, they have a buddy system. But the dark buddy system. But, you know what I mean? But so we're like, if the Emperor's here and Vader...
Yeah.
Well, then how is Maul even still around? Well, it's because it's just that there are two prominent ones.
With two Sith, yeah.
And he even said, he goes, I'm not Darth anymore.
It's a guideline sort of thing, yeah.
Right. And getting into the use of two, we see that because Maul and Ezra have to work together as a team, as a two, really a master and an apprentice, to open the doors. They're moving the rocks.
Yeah, you have to lift one up and then lift the other.
While the other is lifting the one and then the other one, back and forth.
Yeah, it's almost puzzle-like in some ways. It's really a simple one.
And the rule of two keeps coming up over and over and over again in this episode.
Yeah.
And like Brian said, it even comes up later. So, so very cool use.
Darth Maul seemed very keen on having an apprentice within the episode pretty quickly.
And I even liked how...
it's my ball. I'm taking it. It's my ball.
Kind of, yeah.
He's my apprentice, not yours.
It's almost...
I like him. He's staying with me.
Yeah, he's shiny.
Well, I think almost... I think he's impressed with Ezra, because at first he's trying to trick Ezra. I hate to use the same analogy. It almost reminds me of Luke and Yoda when they first meet. Well, Yoda's pretending to be this...
Well, the interaction was definitely the same.
But he's impressed by Ezra while they're trying to open up all these things and his willingness to... Well, you can just throw me. I'll jump.
Yeah. He also seemed kind of amused by the fact that Ezra gave him a false name at first as well.
Yeah.
Like, he seems like, that's actually smart of you. Okay. Well done.
Yeah, Jabba, yeah.
Yeah, well, you had that aspect. And then you also had the aspect that how powerful he was. Mm-hmm. And that was another thing that Maul found, was like...
Yeah.
Because if you notice, on that first door, Maul didn't raise his hand to open the door. He let Ezra do it by himself.
Yeah, he was kind of watching it.
And he was watching to see how well he could do, and he's like, oh.
And he's teaching him the whole time. He's teaching him the ways of the Sith. He says, you got to use your emotion.
Mm-hmm.
You got to tap into it. It's a wellspring.
Well, even that when it goes later on, it's like when the... are in the fight with the Seven Sister. Mm-hmm. Like, he's like, the next time you hesitate, that could be you or your friends that die.
Right, and he's constantly screwing with
him. Like, it's kind of like just implanting those sort of concepts. And
those ideas into his head, very, very much.
Although, I didn't like the Mortal Kombat part there.
What's that?
He had the Seven Sister up in the air, and he tells Ezra, finish her! Like, what? Get over here!
Well, kind of. It was... And I was going to wait to talk about this later, but since we're here...
I think we're probably going to be jumping
around. We're going to be jumping around, but that's the temptation moment. That's where... It's the same as in Episode 3, where the Emperor... Where Anakin has taken the hands off of Dooku. He has the lightsabers across his neck, and basically the Emperor telling him, kill him. Kill it, do it now. And he actually does it. He gives
because it's like a full turn.
Right, that's kind of like his symbolic moment.
Yeah.
And he still has enough sense and teachings from Kanan to say no.
Yeah, it's not like it's going to be like 5 minutes into Sith lessons. It's like, all right, this works way better. Let's keep doing this.
But he's pulled back. That shows, he's resisted the temptation.
Yeah.
To go full Sith, I guess. Okay, so... meanwhile, while this is going on, Ahsoka and Kanan are chasing the Eighth Brother, and they use Chopper. Chopper is actually used in the capture of the Eighth Brother.
Yeah, he sneaks into his TIE Fighter.
TIE Fighter, and actually starts shooting.
Right, because he's following the ship.
Right.
And he says, well, don't let him take off.
Yeah.
And they didn't. I don't think they realized that the Eighth Brother, who they were chasing, is actually heading to the ship.
Hmm.
And but Chopper does. He gets like it wasn't open at first either. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
He landed on top of it, and then he sees the Eighth Brother come and throws the lightsaber and goes back like a boomerang.
Right.
And then Chopper like steps on it like it's one of those push button things. It steps on it, door flips open, and he jumps in.
Right. Next thing you know, he's firing at him. That's how they capture him. I thought it was kind of a cool use. It was kind of funny actually. A very dark and serious episode, a little bit of comic relief.
Well, the funny thing is, you see Chopper actually start attacking and actually being kind of a useful member of the team, like episode after episode.
Yeah.
Like, there's another episode with where he actually like takes up like two pistols and just starts dual wielding while running forward.
Yes, I remember that episode.
Oh, yeah, when he was on one wheel.
Yeah.
But, so, kind of a cool use. When they do capture the Eighth Brother, they're asking the question, they said, how many Inquisitors are there? So. He says enough. That's all he really says. So, my question to you guys...
I would assume it's at least 10.
At least 10?
Yeah. At least 10, if not more.
You think it might be more? What do you think, Brian?
I wouldn't assume it's past 20, though.
Well, if I would think that there's... Because he said enough, right?
To deal with them.
Not to deal with them. So, he might be the last one. So, he might be the eighth, right? So, you had... 5, 7, and 8 are gone, so you still have. And I would assume.
Well, I assume the first Inquisitor was the one.
The Grand Inquisitor.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So you still have 2, 3, 4, and 6.
Yeah.
So 4.
Still have 4 left.
4 out there.
If 8 is the end number.
Yeah. We're also assuming they're not continually recruiting and moving up in the ranks or anything like that as well.
Well, I think they might be, but I think.
I think once you get your name, you have your name, like the Seventh Sister.
I would think, in my mind, we're getting closer to Episode 4 in the timeline, at least in my mind. I could be off, I could be way off here, but in that, and because in A New Hope, you don't hear anything about the Inquisitors at all, I would think there may only be a few left.
Well, at the same time, Inquisitors only really seem like the purpose is hunting down Force users, so... I mean, I guess I could see that coming in with the Luke Skywalker story, but it clearly doesn't. So maybe they're dead off or somewhere else.
That's what I'm thinking.
That's one of the things we don't know with the show is how it kind of ties in. Or, like, is everything in the show working in the background, or is it just dead off by then?
I wonder if it's something to where one of those, like, you've outlived your usefulness kind of thing, and they feel like they've gotten all the Jedi. And either the Emperor or Vader kills off the Inquisitors.
So, it's like, possible. The droids are clones from the Clone Wars.
Yeah.
That's very possible, Brian, that's exactly what happens. I don't know. So, it's just interesting to think about. But one precedent we have seen now, two season finales and two seasons, the Inquisitor, whoever the Inquisitor is, bites the bust. Bites it at the end.
Well, they killed off the two main Inquisitors for this season, yeah.
Yeah, it was crap. They killed off Buffy and Sharkface.
I was actually fine with
Buffy
that.
Buffy and Shark Face.
I was referring to him as Sharkhead and Droid Commander. So I'm kind of fine with them both being dead.
It was interesting, though, that Maul took them all out. Except for the Eighth Brother, who just kind of falls.
Yeah, the funny thing is it really shows Maul as being kind of pretty heavily above, like, the Inquisitors in terms of power.
Well, he was, because he was Darth.
He was a Darth, yeah, and it shows because... Again, their lightsaber spin, and his does not.
Yeah.
He doesn't need it to spin. He doesn't need that extra help. He's that much more powerful.
Yeah, it's almost like that's their training wheels.
Right, and he doesn't have it. He doesn't need it.
His just automatically spins. He's like,
he's like, I can do what you're doing with my fingers.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not that good. So.
Yeah, I mean, that was probably those lightsaber scenes are probably my favorite part of this whole thing.
There was so much action and so much great lightsaber fights in this, but we'll get to that in a minute.
when they meet up, and like you said, like, he pulls out, they're like, Maul? You know, he's like, I don't go by Darth anymore, I go by Maul, whatever he says. And then the Inquisitors are there, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, Ezra's like, oh no, he's on our team. Mm-hmm. He's on our side, and he goes, I guess I'll have to show you with my actions.
Yeah.
And he pulls out his, you know, that's when he breaks his cane open, pulls out his
double
lightsaber, and he goes right in front of him, and it's Kanan, Maul, and Ahsoka, all with their lightsabers. Like, it's like, oh my god, this is awesome.
I agree.
Just fanned out there for a moment.
Oh my god, this whole episode, this is a totally geek out episode. So, getting back to Maul and Ezra together, again, we see them kind of form a team, and he throws Ezra over to get the holocron, and they're working together. Once he gets the holocron, then Ezra has to, the thing starts to go up in the air for the weapon, and he has to jump off or be basically obliterated by a giant thing, a ball of energy above him. And again, he trusts Maul, and Maul, not only does Maul grab him,
well, he grabs him by the hand that's actually...
with the Sith holocron.
Yeah, so you have that kind of moment there where you're not sure if he's going to drop him or not.
Well, number one, it was reminiscent of Episode 1 where he's standing over Obi-Wan Kenobi with a lightsaber and kind of in the same fashion where Obi-Wan's kind of hanging on.
Mm.
And then, but it's also symbolic because he has the one thing that Maul wants, and Maul still pulls him up anyway.
Yeah, well, and just like a scene later, like, he hands it to Maul and to put into the little door to open it up.
Right, the key.
And then he just hands it right back.
Yeah, and that's his way of gaining Ezra's trust the whole time. But some very cool symbolic features going on.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, Brian, what'd you think? Did you like that, or...
Yeah, I mean, like, I liked that whole dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was cool. I really... When I was watching, I was really hoping we were going to see a different turn of events. Like, I was really hoping that we were actually going to see Maul be on the Rebel side.
Kind of
join the team, part of the rebellion.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's what I was really hoping for.
Yeah.
And then, but then he was like, you know, because he even said, he's like, he knew Vader was coming.
And I
really liked the fact he knew Vader because he could see
the lights
coming off. And like, he's like, what is it? And he's like,
We have to hurry.
Nothing, but we have to hurry.
Yeah.
It's like, ah, this is going to be a pain.
Though the other thing I like about Maul, not only does he admit that Vader exists, but he also admits that he can't beat Vader. He already knows that.
Yeah, he's like, we'll need, you know, everyone's power for what's coming.
Yeah, I can't beat him alone,
is what
he says. So obviously, I don't know if there's been an encounter in the past. maybe, or he just knows.
The funny thing is, I think this actually goes into, like, the Clone Wars. Like, if you look at Maul's motivations, like, when he has, Savage? Like,
his brother.
Like, he's actually trying to create, like, he's trying to take the Emperor's place. Like, he's trying to become the number one Sith or have his own faction.
Yeah, the true brothers of the Sith.
Well, even the Emperor says, you're no longer my apprentice, you're my rival.
Right, he said.
Yeah, and it seems like that's kind of Maul's motivations going into this, and it's interesting that it kind of, it plays back to that.
Yeah, he's...
Because he's like, I'm going to use this weapon, and I am going to create my own faction.
Yeah, he's like, I'm going to kill all my enemies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which he didn't like the Jedi to begin with, now he doesn't like the Sith.
Might as well take them all out if he can. And he'd take on the new apprentice while he's at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. okay, so... We see that after they're kind of doing the whole ascension on the temple, and during the whole ascension on the temple, we see that Maul is constantly trying to keep Kanan and Ezra apart.
Separated.
The whole time.
Because he wants Ezra as his apprentice. So.
Yeah, because temporarily Maul is teaming up with the Jedi here, even though they're...
Although I did like the joke when they were going up the thing.
Yeah.
And Ezra's like, well, we work as a team or whatever, you can take the next one. And he's like, if you ask Ahsoka, are you okay riding with Grandpa?
Yeah. That was funny. That's a good point. We already talked about the Seven Sister thing, which I thought was cool, though, because he did use that as a temptation.
And he held her right in front of him.
Yeah, I mean, she just grabbed it. She's like, no! Yeah.
Not only was it a choke hold, it was just complete.
Well, you know, it's
move.
None of them wanted to fight. As soon as they saw that it was Maul. They were all scared. All the Inquisitors were just crap. Like, they were just scared shitless.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't even... It was just like... And then they're like, oh, the Shadow. Maul.
Darth Maul. It is true. Darth Maul.
Mm-hmm. Like, before that, it was just a legend they heard when they were tracking down.
It's just... I just wonder what the number ranking means then, because they sent the 8th guy to go after Darth Maul.
They might have assumed, like, Darth Maul or the Shadow is maybe kind of a legend sort of thing.
Or maybe it's not Maul at all.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing is there was this rumor of Maul. And Maul said he's been down in that catacombs for a while.
Yeah, we don't know.
But maybe it was something where all the Inquisitors are spread out looking for Maul. Mm-hmm. And the 8th brother happened to just be the one that found him. Because you saw he hit his...
Yeah,
he had the beacon on his wrist, and all that brought two more
to him. Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know. Okay, so finally, Maul reveals his master plan. But before he does that, he attacks Kanan, and Kanan goes blind.
Yep,
he just takes out his eyes.
Well, no, he said it. He said right before that.
He
gave his whole plan before that.
Well, yeah, a little bit. Yeah,
because he was like. I'm going to blah, 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 and I'm going to take this, and I'm going to take Kanan, he's mine, but first...
Yeah, and he goes after Kanan and takes him out. So, what do you guys think about the blind Kanan?
I think it's kind of cool. And to be honest, even the first fight scene, after you see Kanan put on the mask, you see it kind of flip over his lightsaber, and it's a nice little nod to the old Zatoichi films, where it was like a blind samurai kind of storyline.
Mm-hmm.
And you even see, like, in terms of camera angles, where you're reflecting on it. The one thing I thought was a little weird was, like, the mask itself, like, which is the temple guard sort of mask, and then later on you have the kind of visor blindfold thing, which seems a little off. Like, aesthetically, that's a little weird, but otherwise I think it's kind of a cool character element.
Brian, what do you think?
Didn't like it.
Not even a little bit?
Not really.
No?
I'm hoping it's not permanent, but I know it's going to be.
Yeah.
Like you said, he's going to be the blind Jedi.
Yeah, the blind master.
Yeah, and it's...
Where he sees more through the Force than through his actual eyes.
Because that's, you know, right? One of the first Force training things we see is Luke with the blinder on.
Right. I mean, and he put that mask on, and he kind of just... It was like... Like you said, like the Luke with the visor on. And it made all the rest of his senses kind of, you know, because you see Maul take two steps and he hears that two steps. And he's like, he just kind of moves and just, I don't know, I didn't care for it too much, and I definitely don't care for the whole visor thing at the end.
It looks like
LeVar Burton from Star Trek.
Like, yeah,
reading,
like,
Rainbow's,
to be honest,
Jedi.
To be honest, I think stylistically they'd be better off with just like a traditional, just kind of...
Yes. just a tie in the back.
Yeah,
the
back. Just a little tie in the back. You can have a little waving.
That would be. I would dig that. Yeah, that'd be.
Yeah, kind of like it's a bit more old school for like the Star Wars universe, but I think it just aesthetically works better than like the big earmuffs
or maybe a tie dye one.
Tie-dye one.
And then when he goes back to listen to the music with Zeb.
Just rocking out.
Rocking out.
Just air guitar.
Yeah.
Well, now we're turning him into the dude. the dude Jedi. Yeah, I think it's going to be awesome because it goes that whole mythology of the blind master.
Hmm.
And from a Star Wars mythology standpoint, yeah, I think he's going to have to rely on the Force more. I think he may even start seeing things through the Force
more. Yeah, you could see it being like an aspect where it actually develops his other senses or his connection to the Force higher.
I think it's going to become...
kind of that Odin mythology where he loses an eye for knowledge.
So he's going to become the teacher for Daredevil?
Yeah, more
kind
or less.
Kind of, yeah. I mean,
same sort of thing.
It's basically, yeah.
He becomes Stick.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, in a lot of ways. It's a good point. to be perfectly honest. But yeah, I think you're going to see him become that much stronger with the Force because he's going to have to rely on it all the time now.
Yeah.
You know, to get around.
Though it is going to make an interesting thing, like how he moves around, like in like faster running sort of scenes. Like whether that's done for him or whether they just kind of throw him out for fight scenes or. How that sort of works.
I think as far as fight scenes, I think he's going to be fine. Because we see him take on Maul, and he takes care of Maul in 2 seconds. I mean, just by using the Force and using his hearing. And he just throws Maul right over the side of the temple.
Yeah, it's kind of a misstep for Maul in a lot
Maul,
of ways.
Maul is shocked. I mean, he's totally caught off guard.
It's
like when he was run through by Obi-Wan Kenobi, cut in half.
In a lot of ways, it's kind of like a ring-out loss for Maul.
Kind of, yeah. It's kind of...
He kind of loses, but at the same time, it's just like...
Well, he survives.
He does the goofy fall.
Oh, no, I think that's 8, like a scene later.
Yeah.
But...
scene prior, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And in this... I want to touch on this real quick, just get you guys' input. On the scene before that, Ahsoka's obviously stepped in and fighting him while Kanan's... trying to get his senses about him, and as she's backing away because she sees Kanan get up, Maul goes to her and says, "Running away again." So my question to you guys is because there's very little interaction from what I remember, if any at all, in the Clone Wars between Ahsoka and Maul. So, in fact, I don't think there is any. So to you, that suggests these two have run into each other prior. Well, like there's some sort of history there.
I think that... Did Maul face Anakin?
No. Maul faced Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Because the way it felt for me...
Yeah.
...was that Maul faced Anakin and Ahsoka.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
And then Ahsoka left. Because later, Ahsoka tells... Vader, Anakin, however you want to look at it, because he loses part of his mask.
Right.
I'm not leaving you again.
That is actually something different. That refers back to her leaving the Jedi Order in the Clone Wars.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So I didn't know if that kind of played into it or not.
Maybe it could be. Maybe you're right. Okay, I see what you're saying. Maybe he's referring to that.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering if maybe there's something else we don't know about. Maybe they've run into each other in the past.
And I think maybe Maul knew about that she ran away from Vader.
He knows she left the Jedi Order because he goes to Jedi and a part-timer earlier in the episode.
Yeah.
So he already knows. Somehow he knows. So, I don't know. I just wonder if there's something that's happened off-screen, you know, between the Clone Wars and now.
It'd be hard to say. It could be maybe there was instance written in for maybe season 7 of Clone Wars that just never got, worked out.
Yeah, that's very possible. So, we'll see. I've got some theories on that. We can talk about that a little later. Okay, so, finally, we get to the top. Ezra gets to the top, puts the Sith Holocron into the temple. The temple activates. You hear a woman's voice.
You hear Siri.
Yeah. Sith Siri come to life. I just wonder if, because there's been some wild stuff in the books, and granted, most of the books are legend, about people being trapped in different things and places. I just wonder if there's somebody trapped inside that
That's it's Sith so holocron. Trapped into it. That's why it stores all the knowledge.
Well, no, it just seemed very personal.
Yeah.
It's. I mean,
you don't see a lot of AI.
Robotic or AI. Well, yeah,
because it asks us, who requests blah, 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 blah. And he's like, it's Ezra Bridger. Well, Ezra Bridger.
You've gained control to destroy all life or something. Yeah. He's like, no, that's not what I wanted.
Yeah, you've gained the knowledge to kill everyone. He's like, wait, that's not what I wanted.
Or was it, doesn't it go in that spiel, well, what is knowledge but power?
Yeah.
Sort of thing.
Yeah. So it's very personal, so.
You almost feel like it's a Sith stuck in there.
Yeah, kind of. There's a part of me that wonders, because
it, oh, do you think it's going to be like that little pixie thing in The Legend of Zelda?
A mini Sith?
There, yeah. No, I'm just saying, I'm just wondering if there's like a Sith soul in there or something. Or
yeah.
Although that kind of goes against the whole thing about the Sith and Star Wars mythology, but still.
Oh, because it's only supposed to be the Jedi that continue that can on.
Continue on.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you have like characters that are able to like transport their soul into different bodies, sort of thing.
Yeah,
she's a Sith in a bottle.
Like I said, there's precedent for that in the books as well. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, Disney's clearly incorporating a lot of stuff it liked from the EU and just trying to fit it into where it works for them
into their own storylines. So, yeah, I don't know. I just thought it was kind of an interesting thing. So, so Ezra turns the machine on, but as he does, even the voice says, well, if you won't claim it, then maybe the other person approach it will. And very cool scene. We saw it in the trailer. I wish now it wasn't in the trailer, because it would have been awesome to see for the first time. We see the scene with Vader
surfing
on top of his TIE fighter.
Yeah, he's just like, I don't feel like sitting down anymore.
They're always going to surf in. What up, dude?
He's just there with his lightsaber on, ascending down on like a chariot. And there he is.
Yeah.
Very cool scene.
It's very cool looking, but it seems kind of impractical from
the... Well, it may be impractical, but it's damn badass looking.
Oh, yeah. You know? It's just like, I'm just going to control this with the Force
with the down. Force, and I'm just going to stand here and look ominous and badass. So Vader jumps, and then it's Ezra versus Vader, and a very short lightsaber scene.
Well, before that, like right when he gets there, did you get the feeling that Vader wanted to turn Ezra to be his apprentice?
I never got that feeling from him.
I didn't.
I got that. Really? Like, when he showed up, and he kind of, he was just standing there, basically like talking to him. He's like, I see you've turned on blah, blah, blah.
Well, he wanted to know how he did
and he's
it.
Like, he's like, how did you do that? Like, but it wasn't like a, I'm going to kill you type of thing. It was almost like a, I want you to be with me kind of thing. Like,
I actually didn't pick up on that, no.
I didn't
like,
either.
To be honest, I took that one scene as like, when Ezra's like, I'm not afraid of you, well, then you will die being one of the few who wasn't.
Well, that was after, though. Because like, Vader didn't even raise his lightsaber to him at first. And he was just talking to him, and he was like, how did you do that? You must be powerful, blah, blah, blah. And it was almost like he was, like he was... Not I don't want to say sizing him up, but he was impressed that he could do that, and he knew that the dark side could only open the, you know.
Yeah.
So he was, you know, it was, for me, it felt like he was almost looking to see if Ezra could be his apprentice type thing.
It's possible, only because he was definitely impressed. There's no doubt about that. He was shocked and he was impressed. But the rest of my impression that I got from Vader towards Ezra is that Ezra's is insignificant. That he refers to him as the child.
And he
doesn't look at him.
Yeah, he's kind of emotionless, and he's just like, oh, well, but, another thing to kill.
But, again, now that you bring it up, yeah, it's possible.
That's just what it felt like. Until Ezra turned his emotions to, well, I'm not afraid of you, mm-hmm. and that was when... Vader turned, and not really turned.
Well, he raised his lightsaber.
Yes, raised his lightsaber. Like, well, fine, then I'll kill you.
You'll die braver than most. Yeah, mm.
Right.
Yeah.
Instead of the way it was, where it looked like almost like a, like it was almost like he was going to go, congratulations on opening it. You know, welcome to the dark side type thing.
We have cookies.
Yeah,
it's possible. I guess now that I think about it, I guess I was just, you know, the way he just takes care of Ezra in 2 seconds and. The way he refers to him later, I guess.
Yeah, he even like smashes his lightsaber,
which is kind of a big deal because everybody, I know, there's a lot of people who think that lightsaber is pretty cool because it's the first one
that actually shoots. Yeah, yeah. Actually, that was a nice feature to it. And no, it just gets destroyed.
And to me, I wonder
but
if
we
it's...
see that with the Eighth Brother's lightsaber in this too. Like that gets smashed when he's trying to fly away.
Yeah, that well, that that's how he falls to his death, or supposedly.
Yeah, because he takes off because it's working.
Yeah, I actually think he's going to come back. Like they didn't show him dying, so yeah, I'm assuming
he's going to come back too. I don't know. We'll see. But getting back to Vader and Ezra, yeah, Brian, I have to think about that. That's a pretty good point, though. He might have been.
I mean, like when you watch it again, because I know you will.
Oh, well, you know I will.
When you watch that part, look at the interaction up until the point where Ezra makes it a confrontation
and says, "I'm not afraid of you."
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, I'll look at it. But speaking of the lightsaber, it does get destroyed. Vader destroys it. They show it in pieces. To me, maybe it's just me. It's almost like a rite of passage where. Where a Jedi either loses his lightsaber,
or loses his hand.
Well, actually, almost looked like he did, right?
I thought he did lose his hand. I was like, "Oh my god, he just shut his hand off."
Yeah, for a second, when it shows like the shattered lightsaber, that's what it looks like because he has that little twist off the side.
He went to the side like this, like ow, like, and then like I'm like, "Holy crap!" He just pulled a Luke on him and he cut his hand off.
I actually would have found that awesome. Well, I would have been completely fine with that. If it happened.
He was holding his hand afterwards, though. I think he hit him with such force that, you know,
it stung a little.
It stung a lot, yeah. Because you see him later kind of holding his hand. Like,
right, but it was one of, like, in the moment, like, just watching it.
Yeah, for a brief second, it almost looks like it cut it off.
If I would have paused it at the right spot, I'm going to guarantee you it looked like he didn't have a hand.
Yeah,
it's possible. It's very possible, yeah. That's the other thing I noticed. Vader lightsaber style in this. He is just, like, swinging for the fences with all his force and his might. I mean, he is just so powerful.
Yeah, he's
coming down.
He's berserker.
Pure angry.
Yeah, just energy and anger.
Pure
just,
berserk mood.
Yeah, he's just, like, kicking everybody's
ass. And it wasn't like... He had... Vader had zero fear about the other lightsaber.
Yeah, there was no defensive.
It was all offensive. The whole thing was just...
Especially against, I noticed that against Ahsoka, which
it was continue hit after.
Yeah, that's why you see Ahsoka kind of get that quick hit on him.
She's very agile, jumping around. He's just, you know, almost like he's swinging a battle axe at her, you know. But I don't know. So yeah, the losing of the lightsaber is definitely to me it kind of feels like a rite of passage for a Jedi.
I mean, I can see where you could come there.
I lost my car keys. Congratulations, you're a Jedi.
Congratulations, you've taken the next step.
It's kind of a weird little...
kind of thing in the Star Wars mythology. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm pulling it.
Well, either that or they just really like people discovering lost artifacts.
Maybe.
Yeah, don't worry. Lesh McCall in Episode 7 will find your lightsaber.
Yeah, someone will find it and they'll be awesome with it.
What was her name?
Right?
No.
What? Sorry.
In Episode 7.
Oh, was it Maz?
Maz?
Yeah. It's like, don't worry, Maz will find your lightsaber. She'll bring it back to you.
This will all work out.
It'll all work out. Man.
Not to get off topic, but have you seen that internet meme? It's the little GIF video.
And it says, where she just pops up?
She pops up with like looks like the
chest.
Like the Mario Brother chest. And she opens out the chest, it falls in, she closes it, and goes away.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that. That's funny.
Yeah, it's cute.
So that's funny. That's real funny. I'm gonna have to find that now. So eventually, Ahsoka shows up and they have a little brief conversation. And basically, Ahsoka says
she had a great line in that conversation.
Well, she goes, "Nobody could be as vile. My master could never be as vile as
you." No, like the "I'm no longer a Jedi" line.
That's very
good. Yeah, yeah.
That was a great line.
He was like, she's like, "I would have vengeance for Anakin or whatever." And he's like,
"Vengeance is not the Jedi way."
Vengeance is not the Jedi way. And she's like, "I'm no longer a Jedi.
I'm no Jedi."
And it was like, oh shit.
Yeah. Like, oh, I was kind of coming in this thing, she was trying to like turn him in some way, but no, she's like, "I'm just going
to
kill him."
But Vader's line, and here's another bone to The Force Awakens, he goes, "Anakin Skywalker was weak, so I destroyed him." Very reminiscent of the same thing that Kylo Ren said.
Yeah.
Ben, you know, your son was weak. You know,
yeah,
this is to Harrison Ford, aka Han Solo. He says, "Well, your son was weak, so I destroyed him." So another little bone there to The Force Awakens. So,
Yeah, it seems like it's doing a decent job of kind of making little nods to both the older films and the newer ones. It's you know, it's working well as a connector.
And it's also kind of a nod to how the Sith might think of themselves, you know, once they accept, become the dark side.
Well, they do rename themselves.
Rename themselves and
kind of like the League of Assassins.
Yeah.
Kind of how they view their past lives, you know. They just view them
as... Those were the weak person I was before.
Right. Look at what
I've cut myself off from that.
Yeah. Look at what I've ascended to. Mm. You know. Right.
Yeah, I severed all ties.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so I thought that was just kind of a cool line. So, all right. So, Vader versus Ahsoka. Again, Vader's just like swinging a paddle axe at her. She's flipping around.
She gets some good hits in, though.
I like her lightsaber style. I didn't think I'd like it. We've seen a little bit of it, but we saw a lot of it this time. And
no, it's agile, it's fast, it's very precise.
Samurai, sidearm.
You know, it actually reminds me of like more of like some of the old ninja films sort of thing.
Kind of, yeah. Very.
That's actually what I was thinking. It was like it's a samurai versus ninja sort of fight.
Yeah.
Because you have Vader who's more or less just going with a really strong like two-handed attack.
She's using crossblades.
She's going with the more fast, nimble kind of crossblade things. Like it almost had like a samurai versus ninja feel for me.
Yeah,
especially because, you know, that's kind of how Vader's mask is designed anyway.
It's to look like a samurai's mask.
Yeah, it's very reminiscent of it anyway.
I was thinking more like a samurai versus, like, a knight.
Oh, really?
You know, because of how heavy medieval swords are.
So it's like he's got the broadsword. Yes. She's got the katanas.
Yes. And that, like you said, that's almost the way he's swinging it, too. Like, it's heavy, and it's like, I'm just going to... It's so much power behind it that one hit from this and you're going to die kind of thing. Whereas hers are, I have to hit you a bunch of times.
Well, either that or it has to be like a precise strike sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. But, man, what a great scene. Just a great fight, really.
Oh, yeah, especially when she...
I wish they'd shown more of it, honestly. But
Yeah. It has that little bit when the... area's closing up where it doesn't really show how it ends.
We'll get to that here.
Well, it does, something. Kind of. We can get to that whenever you want to talk
about it. Well, anyway, so at the end of their first battle, we'll call it part one, Vader throws her off the side of the, Force pushes her off the side of the temple, kind of, sort of.
It just pushes her away.
She actually falls.
Does she fall?
Yeah, she falls like a level.
Okay,
like
just level. Yeah,
a level. And he goes back in. He's going after Ezra, who's helping Kanan into the ship, into the ghost. Or the Phantom. Yeah, the Phantom.
Yeah.
And he's reaching out with the Force, and he's literally pulling Ezra, not just Ezra,
Ezra and Kanan.
I think he's just pulling the holocron.
That's all he wants, but I'm just saying.
I think it's just both of them trying to hold on to
it.
Pretty much.
But he's pulling them all towards him, and then you see Ahsoka show back up. Comes from behind, jumps over him, cuts his mask.
Yeah, and you see...
Battle damage Vader.
Yeah, it was kind of
freaking
cool,
awesome.
Yeah, it was a nice little kind of moment, because you see him come up, and you see, like, the one eye kind of...
Yeah, exactly.
And you hear the breathing apparatus.
It stops.
You hear, like...
It's the Jedi from Jedi.
Yes.
It's the same sound effect, the labored breathing sound. Awesome. Loved every second of this. This is where, I mean, I was like a little, I felt like I was 5 years old again watching Jedi. It was just crazy. And then you hear the voice change.
Yeah, it sounds like actual Luke from like Clone Wars.
Well, or Anakin, yeah.
Yeah.
It's the same guy. It's Matt Lanter.
He does the same voice. Yeah, it actually was funny because it did switch voice actor from
James Earl Jones.
Into
Anakin's voice from Clone Wars.
Yeah.
And she hears it because he goes Ahsoka, and it at first it's kind of...
Well, it's kind of
robotic-ish,
nice.
And then it goes right into Matt Lanter's.
Well, it's kind of funny because it actually plays into the original Star Wars films, where when Vader takes off the mask, you actually hear like his actual voice, and it's not the James Earl Jones voice.
Right, exactly.
That's what he's saying.
But it's very, very cool.
Yeah.
You know, it's cool just to see the one eye, and you can see that his eye has... He has the Sith.
Yeah, and small. I mean, it has that sort of just rage.
Yeah,
just
it's got...
Pure
well, not at first, though. It was orange.
Well, it's orange and red. Which is
right,
what,
but it turned really red
when he said you're gonna die.
Yeah,
very cool. And then she hears his voice. She stops. She goes, Anakin. She turns around and she says, "I'm not gonna leave you. I won't leave you this time." Referring back to the Clone Wars, where she walked away from him in the Order.
And then he said, "Well, then I'm gonna kill you.
Then you will die." Like, he stands there for a second, like all of a sudden, like the light side starting to get to him, and then he
goes right back
into the dark side, like extra heavy. So, and the temple falls, and they're still fighting.
Yeah,
you know,
it was a great scene, great fight scene. I mean, clearly the highlight of the season.
Just unbelievable. I don't think they could have written it any better. I don't know how long he's been thinking about, like, Filoni and the rest of the team been thinking about it. I don't think he could have done it any better other than to show more lightsaber.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny. If you think back to that that episode of Jedi Council where we saw Freddie Prinze Jr. on there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They had already started to film. They had already started recording. I don't like to say filming. Yeah. They already started recording season 3.
Yeah.
And he even said, he goes, when you see season 2... Season 3 is even better.
I know, that's what's crazy about it.
And it was like, and we just saw this and we're like, oh my god! And now can you imagine if it's that much better on season 3?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at Darth Maul raising up his own army to take on the Sith and what remains of the Jedi.
Well, it'd be crazy. We'll get to that in a second.
Because, I mean, if we're being honest, Clone Wars and Rebels used Darth Maul way better than the films ever did.
So the temple explodes, essentially. They do the whole montage thing.
Well, slightly before that, you have that nice little moment where Kanan's walking up, and they have, like, you need both the two to pull out the holocron or holocrux.
Yeah, it takes.
And you have, like, Ezra actually supporting him and helping him over to actually grab
it. And again, it reinforces the
rule of two.
Rule of two. There, that's a good point. I forgot to bring that up. But after that, the temple falls on Vader and Ahsoka. They're fighting. The thing explodes. They kind of do this montage, and you kind of see everybody going their separate ways. And for 2 seconds, and I literally mean 2 seconds because that's all you see. You see Vader walking away damaged, like huddling towards trying to get away, barely able to walk.
Well, yeah, if his breathing apparatus has been damaged.
You actually do see Ahsoka. For like 2 seconds, mm-hmm. They don't show. They show you like,
yeah, she walks into the tunnel.
Right, she's walking, and it's down into the temple. It seems like further, deeper down.
Mm-hmm.
But the question remains: is she alive?
Does she survive, or
or is that her Force ghost?
Yeah,
is she alive, or is she?
No, dead? I don't think it's her Force ghost. I think she's alive.
I wouldn't think so.
Yeah.
To be honest, I feel like if the show doesn't actually show them getting killed off, they're probably coming back for another season.
I think so, too, because I think they would have done it in a much more dramatic way. I mean, yeah, that wasn't dramatic. It was.
No, but I mean, it's clearly set up to be we don't know sort of thing, which clearly kind of suggests they want to do something with it later on.
Well, I also think she's going down deeper. I think she's going to be stuck on that world for a while.
Yeah, that's a good possibility.
And I think she's going to try to learn as much as she can about the Sith while she's there. Now, whether that alters her state of mind while she's there, I don't know, because that's a lot of dark force.
Yeah, but I mean, you look at not only that, but like Ezra's like transitioning, opening up the holocrux later on. It could be interesting whether it starts taking the gray thing from the EU. Like
the gray Jedi?
Yeah. Because, I mean, you more or less already have Ahsoka saying, I'm not Sith. She is
the gray Jedi.
Yeah, because she's not Jedi, but she's not a Sith anymore, so she's just in that Force-wielder category.
Well, I actually don't think she'll be stuck on that planet very long. Because I think she's actually going down to get into the Eighth Brother's TIE Fighter that Chopper left. Because he
Maul got that one, though.
Yeah, he flies off.
Maul had his own, though.
We don't know.
Maul.
That's how he got there.
Maul's definitely
It doesn't show what ship Maul had to get there.
Yeah, and Maul.
So you're just going to shoot down my idea because there was
no.
That's cool.
No, I'm just saying. Cool. There's one
bastards.
It's one of three possible. Where did the other two Inquisitors come from? So they're.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So like, I really think that she's going to go down and get another ship.
It could be.
It's a possibility.
I don't think we're going to see her for a while. I think they'll. I don't think
we're. I don't think we're going to see any of them for a while because it's off season.
Well, I mean, even when season 3 picks back up. I don't think we're going to see Ahsoka.
Maybe we'll see the squales again before we see Ahsoka?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, that's what this episode was missing. It was the one thing that was not in the effing montage was the squales.
I was really worried. I was really hoping we'd see them.
This was an awesome podcast until you brought that up. You just had to go there. All right.
He opens the holocron, and all of a sudden, inside come the mini squales.
Oh, is that what it is? It's not a Sith that's trapped in the Holocron. It's a mini squale.
Mini squales.
Fuck you both.
Oh, hey, it's kind of like language. Men in Black. Kind of like Men in Black, where it's like a universe inside of the...
Yeah. That'd be a nice little twist.
Go back to smoking the hookah.
I think you have to smoke more than hookah to get that.
That would be a better crossover than what they're planning on doing with Men in Black, but that's for another show.
Yeah, that's a different story. Okay, so also, did you anybody else think that maybe that owl, which was...
Yeah, it was the last episode. That was a weird little reference.
I wonder...
Considering it's the only living thing on the planet.
I wonder if that's symbolic of... the light side of the Force.
Maybe. To be honest, I actually took it to be as like a symbol of the dark side of the Force.
Really?
Because if you look at the previous episode, it's right. You see it right after Ezra tries to connect with the spider, and it's circling above.
And you hear the Imperial March.
Yeah, and it's not like this is a particularly good part when you see it.
There is a...
Do you think it's the Emperor's owl?
The Emperor's owl?
Does the Emperor have an owl?
I guess he does, because, I mean, like...
Is this like a spy owl?
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of like...
That'd be kind of cool. I'd be okay with that.
Like the Emperor can watch through the eyes of this...
Yeah, like it's almost like something he force possesses.
Well, here's my thinking, and this goes back to the Clone Wars. There's a arc in the Clone Wars. I can't remember what season it is. Season 4, maybe? It's the Mortis trilogy, or it's the Mortis arc... where basically they end up with these like ultra force users.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even use lightsabers. They're so powerful with the force. They're like force wielders. They are the force essentially.
Okay.
And there's the brother who's evil. He represents the dark side of the force. There's the sister who represents the light side of the force, and then there's their father who's kind of neutral.
Yeah.
Anyway, but the sister, when she transforms, they're both can transform. The brother transforms into like a bat looking thing.
An owl?
Not an owl, a bat, like a an evil monster bat. Where the sister transforms into a bird.
Okay.
So therefore, I'm wondering if that's
the dad.
No, I'm wondering if that's Filoni's way of representing the light side of the force and the
which is birds
with this bird.
Oh, okay. So like, is birds in general, or just that bird?
Just this bird in general. Okay. Just
yeah, because that's two episodes in a row that we saw this damn thing.
Yeah, it's the same bird, so too, it's as far symbolic, as we can tell.
It's symbolic of something. Well, it has to be.
Well, not only does it look like the same bird, it's on two different planets. It clearly got from one to the other somehow.
Yeah, that's why I'm thinking it's
did it stow away on the Phantom?
I think it's symbolic of the light side. I think it's the light side of the Force. I don't know. Call me crazy. Maybe I'm way off. Maybe I'm the one smoking the hookah. I don't know. Anyway, so.
Hear that, or it's like its own mini Yoda. It's just like its own little force user that's just hiding out.
Maybe that's what it is, because maybe it's something you see from Dagobah.
Yeah, maybe it's just, a little thing. It uses the force. No one notices because it looks like an owl.
We saw flying creatures on Dagobah that we didn't actually see in the movie. Yeah. Maybe that's one of the creatures we see.
Okay.
What is, like, Yoda's owl?
Yoda's owl.
Oh, okay, not the Emperor.
It's awesome. One of... We'll put up a poll.
Whose owl was this?
We'll get a Twitter poll going.
Whose owl was it? Whose owl?
Okay, so one thing we know, owls or not, is that nobody's going to be the same after this, right? I think everybody's changed. Kanan's blind. Ezra is...
The ones involved in this episode are changed.
Ezra opens...
Yeah, Sabine's more or less still the same from the last episode.
For now.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like there's going to be a greater emphasis on her next season.
There's
going to
be a trickle effect,
Oh, there's
going to
be a butterfly effect, that's for sure.
Yeah. So, Kanan's blind. Ezra, at the end, opens up the Sith Holocron by himself.
Yeah. Like, just focusing on it.
So, obviously, he's...
And he didn't have to focus that hard. He just had it in his hand, and it kind of floated, levitated, and then kind of came apart. And he's like, ooh, okay.
He's obviously much closer to the dark side of the Force than he was before.
Anyway. Well, either that, or he had a couple lessons tapping into it, and he was already kind of...
Now he's
a little neutral.
He was... Before, he was drifting. Now he's kind of there.
I don't know. Like, to me, I still think, like, you have Maul talking earlier, like... You have to be able to understand the Sith and understand their practices. And I feel like it's taken that kind of approach with it rather than just like a direct switching to the dark side sort of
way. I want to go there with you. I want to. And I've gone back and forth. I went back and forth all season 2. I said at the beginning of season 2, he's going to the dark side at some point. Then they had the thing with his parents where he saw the parents, his own parents through the Force. It's like, oh, that'll be the saving grace factor. Yeah. He'll go, but he won't go all the way.
Yeah.
Now, after this episode, holy shit. He's practically there. He reminds me more of Anakin Skywalker now than ever.
Well, yeah, it was the... When he was talking to Maul about, well, how do you do this and how do you do that and how do you get this to move and everything else, mm-hmm. he was like, well, you just have to think like the Sith.
Yeah, you have to
But to actually open the holocron, he has to almost be...
He has to use the dark side to open it.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, that's...
You have to be able to tap into that element of it.
That's way more than being just knowing how to and think like one. That's pure, practicing. Yes, that's practicing.
Yeah, very much so. So, I don't know. We'll have to see. All right, guys. Well, we've definitely examined this thing thoroughly. Let's just get into final thoughts and grades. Let you have the honor of the first final thought.
Well, in terms of grading, this is easily going to be in the A+ range. Like, I mean, this is pretty much the highlight of the season. There's not another episode that I think even really comes close to it, really.
The squales?
Well, I did love the squales, that is true. I miss them terribly.
We know you do.
Yeah. Also, it just kind of sets up the next season so greatly. Like, I am fascinated to see what they do with Maul in the next season. Like, if they actually make him, like, one of the big bads for the next season, and actually raising up, like, an army or alternative apprentices, or having some alternative to the Jedi-Sith dynamic,
yeah.
I think it'd be a great, interesting plot of what to do with him. And to be honest, it's using him so much better than the first, or the episode one ever did.
Well, save most of that, because next week we'll talk about our... We're going to do our season 2 review, and then we'll talk about what we think season 3 is going to be. So save that.
All right.
Definitely. Mr. Ankenbauer, your final thought and grade, sir.
I'm going to give it definitely an A+. I don't know how you wouldn't.
Yeah.
The one, like I've been talking about the whole time, my one thing that I love about Star Wars is the lightsaber scene, and this thing was just full of it.
Yeah, I don't know how I got more into it.
Yeah. I mean, the whole episode was nothing but really basic lightsaber scenes. Like I said, the one thing I really wanted to see was I actually wanted to see, like, Darth Maul join the Rebel Force, kind of. Even if he did eventually turn, that was the only thing I didn't like was how fast he turned against him. Mm-hmm. I really thought that he would have gone this whole episode, like the end of the season, becoming part of this Rebel group, helping them get what they needed, right? And then, like, maybe the very end of the episode, they say, well, you know, the Rebels say, like, you know, we're glad you're on our team. And then you see him kind of turn away, like, away from the camp, like, away from them and go, for now. Like, and that's how they ended. It was like, that. I think that would have been a better fit for me than him turning, causing the issue, and then falling off, and we don't really see him until the very end. Then we see him flying away, a TIE fighter.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would have been better served that way, because then you could have done however many episodes you wanted to, and you always knew he had a better, bigger plan. But for now, they suit his plan because they're against, the Sith.
Personally, I kind of like how they ended off, just because it gives me that thing to look forward to, of, like, what he's going to build up in order to fight against the Sith again.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what I want is too. But I wanted him to be with, you know,
and the Rebels a bit longer.
Yes, and put those cards into place behind the scenes, where all of a sudden it's like, boom, like kind of like how he did in Clone Wars.
Yeah.
Where it was like he put these things in place and he let it play out the way it needed to, and all of a sudden it was like, boom, now I'm in charge and you're blah, blah, blah.
Oh, yeah, Sidious had to get involved himself. Palpatine had to come in order to undo his plans. That's how good he was.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So, like, for this to happen, he definitely seemed off his game, per se. And the only reason why I can say that, 100%, as I just watched those episodes of Clone Wars, because you're like, you gotta watch those episodes.
Yeah, they're great.
So I just watched those several episodes of Clone Wars.
They are good, aren't they?
And they were pretty good, and they had great lightsaber scenes and everything else. But it was like, to go from that to where he was. Yeah, he still had some good skills.
Yeah,
but he definitely was not the same. So I don't know how much time did we say between Clone Wars and this?
Well, it would be, I'd say at least 10 years have passed, maybe 10 more. 10
years? But even still, I don't see how 10 years would have done that to him. You know what I mean? To be that rusty on your skills?
Well, 10 years in hiding. I mean, maybe not necessarily fighting to the best of your abilities.
Yeah, but to be bested by a blind Jedi?
To be honest, I really feel like it was just kind of, he was surprised. Like, I don't even really view that as a loss for Maul as much as
it was a loss.
He tripped.
Nope.
More or less.
It was a loss.
I just think
a trip would have been the same result for him, really.
What I liked about that scene was it just showed that Kanan, when he's focused in on the Force, is unstoppable. I mean, when he really, truly focuses in, he's, he can beat anybody.
Yeah. But anyway, that would be my final thoughts. And
excellent. Great. Nice. I didn't think it would be possible to top Shrouds of Darkness, which was, the other big episode of the series, where I went A++++++.
That wasn't the Squail episode.
No, that was not the Squail.
Don't lie. You know you love the Squails, too.
Fuck the Squails. Anyway. Yes, this is, it doesn't get any better. My only complaint is, make it longer. Even though I love the 1 hour format, I would have loved 2 hours of this.
You wanted this to be like its own arc.
I would
just
this,
entire
this,
4 hours.
This episode, if expanded out another hour, adding in more mythology, and it could have been its own movie. Star Wars movie.
I was actually going to tell you. I was going to say. I said, can you imagine if they would have added in an extra, like, even 30 minutes into this, and then put it in theaters?
Oh my god, dude, people would be going crazy right now.
Yeah.
Well, they wouldn't understand Ahsoka.
It's funny the stuff that people miss by not watching this show.
Oh, they're missing so much.
It really adds to the mythology, the characters.
And they have the time to develop
it. And they don't do it because it's a cartoon.
Yeah, because they say, oh, well,
it's and cartoon. It's on the Disney Channel.
Yeah, get over it.
Yeah.
If you're only just now listening to this podcast for the first time and
binge watch,
and you don't know what Rebels is and you don't know what Clone Wars is, for God's sakes, get on board. Get on board now.
Wow, I think we're past the age of animation being for kids only. I mean,
well, but there's a large majority of Star Wars fans out there that do not.
Well, yeah, they didn't watch Clone Wars. They don't. They won't watch Rebels because it's cartoons, and a lot of them have that mentality. No, cartoons are for kids.
Yeah,
there's a lot of people out there that are like, no, it's not that way. But I don't know.
I mean, we're past the age of, like, Daria and, like, Max with Aeon Flux was, like, 15 years ago. I mean, you look at Adult Swim, Adventure Brothers, just there's a lot of adult cartoons out there.
Maybe for the millennials and on, to be honest, but before that...
Well, that's what I'm saying. We all have... So, Aaron, how old are you?
26.
Right, so we're 10 years older than you.
Yeah.
Our generation,
and there's your difference right there.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but I mean, even for your generation, like when you guys were probably like 15 or 13, you probably had things like Celebrity Deathmatch, like that you actually could watch. But
that might have been the extent of our cartoon watching, though.
Brendan and Stimpy? Yeah.
Didn't really
watch it.
That was Katie's.
I didn't really watch it. To be honest, I didn't even watch Beavis and Butthead.
Fair enough.
So, but yeah. So to that point, just start watching. Binge watch. You can get season one on DVD. Start with that. Season two will be out by the time you finish season one. But to finish up my final grade and thoughts would be just amazing episode, amazing season. Hats off to Dave Filoni and his entire Star Wars Rebels team. Just a tremendous Star Wars writing, tremendous Star Wars telling. Just a great season overall. Just absolutely amazing. And
I'm supposed to save that for next week.
I know. We are. But you're right. I'm getting off track.
It's just becoming its own little mini Grammy speech.
Staying with.
Wait, somebody play the music.
What people would.
I'd like to thank God, my family.
All right. If you two would stop interrupting me, maybe.
Somebody play the music.
So, yeah.
Cue cards.
Play me off. Yeah. But yeah. Great, great episode. Mythology, Vader, Ahsoka. Ezra, Maul, awesome. And I'm
you
holding
your fucking index for this whole movie.
I'm holding this whole last episode. I'm holding back because we have one more episode to go for the season recap. So, but so that's my final thought and grade. Even though it was greatly interrupted, nevertheless. So,
did I interrupt it?
You think?
Oh no!
Both of you did. I'm just looking at you.
Oh, okay.
Anyway.
Yeah, we both kind of hurt a little bit.
Oh, okay. All right. It's all right. I'll forgive you. Maybe.
Okay. Well, at least we talked about Star Wars when we interrupted you. We didn't talk about, we didn't bring something else in.
I don't know. He was starting to bring in Eon Flux and all that other shit. Anyway.
That's true. He did.
All right.
just adding to your point that this is a show for any Star Wars fan. That's all.
There you go. All right, so where can you find 4 Midwest Guys? Well, you can find us on iTunes by typing in the number 4 Midwest Guys into the search. Make sure you hit subscribe. Make sure you leave us a review. Just make it make it awesome. Also, you can find us on Stitcher, OneCast, just about any other.
Podbean.com,
the Podbean app, any kind of online app.
YouTube now.
Yes, we are on YouTube. That's new. We're starting that. We're starting to build. We have about 7 podcasts on there right now.
I would say that's probably that's our phase 2.
Yeah, that would be phase 2.
Right. So what phase 3 is? Phase 3 is possibly video.
Possibly. We're looking into the.
We are looking into possibly doing video podcasting.
We're stretching our budget constraints, but we'll see. We'll get there. We'll get there. We're on YouTube. You can also reach us on Twitter. Mr. Rankenbauer, how is Twitter Quest 2016 coming?
Twitter Quest 2016, which is part of Phase 1, is going very well. We are over 800 on the main page, which is @4MidwestGuys. And we are over 1,900 on mine, which is @AnkZone, A-N-K-Z-O-N-E. And I think you are...
I'm still just over 100, but I'm
over 100.
I'm not really pushing mine too much, but you can find me at B Willie.
You got 100 more than me, man.
B Willie 1977 @ B Willie 1977. You can also find us on email at our number 4 Midwest Guys @gmail.com as well.
Yep.
So lots of ways to get in contact with us. Send us your questions, especially for next week's show. I would love to do a question section over all of season 2. Or even anything Rebels, period.
Or Star Wars related, for that matter.
Yeah, for that matter. So send us your questions. If you got questions about Ahsoka, Vader, something that happened even in the Clone Wars that you want us to touch on, that we can bring some clarity to, let us know. So get your questions in. You can email them to us. Drop us a line on Facebook. Oh, by the way, we're on Facebook.com/the number 4 Midwest Guys as well. So either
feel free to share, link, review, all that fun stuff. Yeah.
We should get a MySpace.
We should get a MySpace.
MySpace. Man, will Tom be our friend?
Yeah. Tom will be your friend.
All Tom will be anyone's friend.
All right.
He's he's such a friend for
him. He is. He really is.
We could also do the business one. I forget the name.
LinkedIn.
LinkedIn, yeah. We'll do that at some point.
All right. Well, I'm going to end this now before these guys ramble on forever in a day. Drop us a line, Twitter, Facebook, any email. Get your questions in for next week's show. All right, Mr. Rankenbauer, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And Aaron, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, not a problem.
Absolutely. And this is B. Willie saying,
may the Force be with you.